You're listening to the Candidly with Coffee podcast, the show that gives you straightforward and candid advice on all things nutrition, fitness, and lifestyle with your host, Janine Escobar.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Candidly with Coffee.
What up?
What is up?
Not much.
We're back.
Here on a Sunday Memorial weekend.
Here on a holiday weekend. Still getting it done. Charles is with me, right here sitting next to me, joining in on the podcast fun. We already took them on their walk. We got our obligation done. Let me get myself situated here.
So we're going to talk about.
Jeez, why are you like getting right into it?
Right into it.
I'm actually wanted to just talk about cheat day. It was good. I always like to recap cheat day. It's delicious.
The burrito. Smacking cookies.
Yeah, Alyssa came back from Hawaii and brought cookies.
Go ahead, recap it.
Well, we had I was gonna have ice cream and I wasn't gonna have donuts, but you decided to go get donuts.
I did.
So that kind of threw me off. So I didn't have ice cream. I just had half an apple fritter. That's it. So I had a half apple fritter and Tyler and I had acai bowls. So good.
I didn't have one. Just donuts.
Good. And I like the acai bowls at like Vitality Bowls or Pressed Juicery because they don't add a bunch of like added sugar. It's just fruit and acai. It's got a lot of micronutrients and antioxidants. The ones at Jamba Juice, they have a lot of sugar.
Ton of sugar.
They unnecessary. Add a lot of added sugar. So not just from the fruit. Because you're going to get a lot of sugar, you know, from the fruit, but
there's no reason to add extra.
Love a good acai bowl. Honestly,
me too,
I don't even have to wait for a cheat day to have one. I can get a good quality acai bowl into my macros, like from Pressed Juicery.
Where's Pressed Juicery?
There's one at Santana Row.
Oh.
Yeah. So I actually might want to get one of their. They have also
sounds good.
Something called a breakfast. Free. Yeah, like it's.
I'm gonna go get one now after this.
Doesn't it sound good?
Yeah, now you're talking about it. Yeah, it
sounds so good to press juice.
What's good for after cheat too? You know, clean your everything out.
Oh, clean everything out.
All the cheat food, the bad heavy food. I had chips, a burrito. I had a burger last night.
Yeah,
too.
You had a burger, but I didn't. I had a burrito, chips and salsa. What else did I have? I had a couple of See's chocolates. I went into See's because it was right next to Vitality Bowls. So I went in to see just a couple, but it was delicious though. I enjoyed it.
Those cookies were good too.
Yeah, from Hawaii. I had, because I wanted to try all of them. So I had just like a bite, maybe a quarter of each of the cookie.
Yeah.
To try all the flavors. It was really good.
It's called the Cookie Company.
Is that what it's called? The Cookie Company?
No, yeah.
In Hawaii?
Yep.
Yeah, it was good.
Bomb.com.
So that was worth it. Like I always like to say, you know, worth it. I'm back to, I did kind of do, I'm starting a slow reverse diet. And what I mean when I say slow reverse is I'm still in a deficit. So I'm slowly reversing out of a deficit. Because I want to be able to eat more. So usually what I do when I reverse is I just add a little bit more calories.
Yeah.
Are you awake?
Mm-hmm. I'm awake. I'm listening to you talk.
I just add a little bit more calories to my day. Like, you know, maybe like 150 or so right now, 100 or so. And then have a little bit of a heavier cheat day. That's what I've been doing. But still, I didn't add enough to where it wiped out my deficit. So I'm still losing fat.
It's always nice to eat more, right? Feels better, the body. Bump those calories up.
I think it's always better. I was actually talking to Tyler about that. When you are, it's better to eat as much as you can and burn as much as you can.
Yep.
Like even when you're trying to create a deficit, it's better to create more of the deficit if you can with more calorie burn, with maximizing your burn.
Yep, that's what I like to do.
Because it's important to get in a lot of food. Because when you get food in, you're getting, you know, micronutrients, macronutrients. I think it's easy for people to, you know, just like, oh, I want to lose, so I want to just cut my food way down. It's That's the last thing you want to do.
Yeah, better to up your activity.
It's better to up your activity. Now, that being said, don't try to exercise off a bad meal or exercise off bad food. That doesn't really work because it never quite equates. You'd be shocked like how much exercise it takes to burn off one donut. So yeah. I'm not saying necessarily do that, but it is important if you're trying to go into a loss or create a deficit, don't just automatically cut what you eat first. Think about all the different ways you can increase your calorie burn. Not even with exercise, not even like with an extra workout or an extra cardio session. I mean, like the little things add up, right?
Just like parking far. Yeah. Walking to the store, don't park in the front, little things like that.
Well, right. Like just walk just wherever you can. Like even if you have, if you go get coffee every day, but your coffee shop is a mile or two away, walk it.
Walk it sometimes. Walk Why not? Or half a mile. Don't drive. Get up in the car and walk. We walked as kids everywhere. Why not?
Or I mean, like walk every time after you eat.
That's a good one. Actually,
we do that a lot when we go out to eat. We'll walk for a while.
Helps with digestion, and you don't get the itis, as we call it. You know, you get the food coma sitting down. But if you get up and you move after you eat, and you don't get that. It's weird. Your body's like, all right, using it.
Yeah. So that's another way too. But it's important to, and that's why for me, even though I'm technically still wanting to lose fat, I'm still in a I still have some fat I'd like to lose. But I also don't want to do it by continuing the caloric deficit in terms of the calories I intake. I'm just kind of being more mindful to the calories I burn, trying to burn more.
That's better, I think.
Rather, you know.
Yeah.
So I upped
hard to cut back on food. Who wants to cut back?
Yeah, I just feel like even my clients, like when they're stalled or whatever, it's the last thing. Like I'll really look into everything else and try to pinpoint everything else, and the last thing I'll do is reduce their calories, just because the more you eat, the more it's important to remember that the more you consume, the more micro and the macro and micronutrients you're getting, and micronutrients are so important.
Very true. You need all that, especially when you're working out hard. Everything adds up.
So other than that, it's just been a freaking busy week. Last week was so busy.
Flew by. It's already Sunday. It's crazy. Like, the busier you are, that's like, sometimes I have, I'm like, man, what are the weeks that go by? The days go by? It's like I lost my memory sometimes. Don't you feel like that?
Oh, I just felt like that. What were we talking about? Oh, there was a movie. I was looking for a movie for us to watch. And I saw the movie called Airplane with Denzel Washington. And I thought, oh, this is kind of newer. We watched it. We saw it in the theaters. But, you know, and I looked at the year that it came out. And I was shocked. I thought it was like a newer movie that we saw maybe a couple years ago.
Two, three years ago, maybe?
It was 9 years ago.
Oh, man.
Remember when he flew the plane upside down?
Yeah.
And he was a drunk or whatever, an alcoholic.
Dang.
But that like was a mind F.
I get like that too. So I was like, what? That movie was how long ago?
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's kind of creepy sometimes. Like, whoa, what are those years?
Nine years.
Do I have amnesia sometimes? Like, or am I living in denial?
Like a time warp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was so crazy. But it's been busy. It's been busy. And when it's busy, time goes by super fast.
Very fast.
I've had to really...
You can't ever get everything done almost in a day.
No, you know what I started doing actually for time, and it's really helped a lot, is time blocking my schedule on... And I think I talked about this a little bit last week.
A la Elon Musk.
So funny that you showed me that post, right? Mm-hmm. So, but this is what I've been doing, is I've been allocating a certain amount of time to each task that I need to complete. And I put it in my calendar. And it's kind of eye-opening, because then you really realize what you can and can't do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you run out of the time blocks at some point. So, you know, then you have to be a little bit more, okay, what's more important? I can move this to another day. You know, I can try to do this a little faster. But It just is very eye-opening, and it's just proof that you can't just wing it.
Nope, you can't.
You can't just wing it when you have a lot of things to do.
Nope, because you'll never get caught up. It.
Like, I noticed that there's people
explain them what a time block is.
Well, so I'll pull up my calendar, and my business day, I like to call my business day 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. I'm usually up before 6, but it takes me kind of time to, like, snap out of it. And I like to wind down between 6 and 7
mm-hmm.
and eat my dinner and kind of just, like, watch a show or whatever. So my time blocks are from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. So I have 12 hours to accomplish everything that I need to get done.
Mm-hmm.
So I put in, I try to guesstimate how much time something is going to take me, and I will block off a certain amount of time on my calendar at a specific time where I will work on that task and that task alone. And the cool thing about it is you really focus on one task instead of being all over the place. It allows you to really
get that one done
and get it done good. You know what I mean? Because you're focused on one thing. You're not doing three or four things at one time.
Yeah.
So it allows you to be more efficient, and you could actually get more done, because when you're working on one thing, you get it done, you move on to the next. You're just more focused on, you know, getting your stuff done. It's so much better. And so I actually had someone ask me, I did like a Q&A on Instagram, and I had someone ask me, like, how much time do I spend on social media? But like, not because it's, I mean, unique, because a social media is my business. So separate from my business, but social media, like personal consumption of social media.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to think about that. Like, when do I look at other people's Instagram or whatever? I usually only do it when either like idle time, like I can't be doing something else. Like I'm at an appointment, I'm in a waiting room for an appointment. Maybe a few minutes before I go to bed, when I'm in bed, a few minutes when I wake up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Or the only other time I will do it is like with the time block. So say I gave myself an hour to film a YouTube video or whatever, and I did it in 45 minutes and I have like an extra 15 minutes before I move on to my next task. I'll go sit out on the porch sometimes with the dog and I'll take that time, and that's when I'll do social media.
Yeah.
But it's allowed me to just do less of it, because when I realize how valuable actually my time is, because, hey, I don't have time. I don't have a time block for that. You know, I don't have, it's a luxury. The space in my calendar is a luxury. I don't want to like waste those time spaces with something that is doing me no good.
I keep reading that everywhere too. Like, don't be just. Listen, I'm guilty of it too. I look at social media, but I try not to be on it all day. I have other things I'm going on, training up on my phone down, but some people just fucking live on it.
Yeah.
They can't go an hour without, so I'll go hours sometimes and I don't even look at it.
You know what? And if you find that you're one of those people, put your phone in another room on the charger or something. Put it loud, or like, so if there's an emergency or you're worried about that, but get it away from you.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it is an addicting thing.
Yeah, a lot of people are addicted to their phones, and you spend a lot of time. And when you start to like think about how much time that you're spending on that and what you could be doing, when people say like, oh, I'm too busy to work out, or I'm too busy to meal prep, or I'm too busy. Well, really, because if you added up all that time that you're spending on things that are not benefiting you in any way, then
people might be shocked to find out if they wrote it down and timed themselves every day. Like, okay, I sat down for this long and looked at my social media. I sat down and this and did that. Like,
maybe they need to do that. If you think that you're consuming too much social media, pay attention. And especially if you are someone that is saying, I don't have time to work out. I don't have time to, you know, like meal prep. I don't have time to do self-care or whatever it may be. Then really take a look. I think that you can find, you'd be shocked, as much as I've discovered.
Those are all excuses. There's always time.
I've discovered that with my time block system, like now I know why I'm not getting it all done. I have a lot to do and there just isn't enough time in the day. So I have to be a little bit more strategic with my time. But on that same token, you know, people that think they're very busy, if they
A lot of us maybe, pretend busy.
Maybe or they think they are. I'm not saying they're pretending.
Or whatever, yeah.
But they think they are, but put it down in like try this system and see. It's just eye-opening. It's eye-opening because you realize there's a lot of wasted time. So, for example, we were just talking about how, you know, we do our walk in the morning.
Yep.
And
about 45 minutes.
It's a 3-mile walk and it takes us 45 minutes. 45 minutes is not that long.
Mm-mm.
If we skipped the walk, for whatever reason, we decided, you know what, this morning, we're not going to go on that walk at 7:30. What will happen? What will we get done in that 45 minutes? Unless we're being strategic, unless we're saying, I'm not going to go on the walk because I need to do this or that or this, a specific task instead. But if you're not being strategic and you just say, you know what, we're just not going to go on that walk. I just feel kind of busy today, but you're not going to be strategic about it. Guess what? We would sit on the couch for another extra 15 minutes, take an extra 15 minutes to get dressed or whatever. And suddenly that 45 minutes passed anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't get the walk done.
Yep. It's true. And that's how people are about their workouts. They'd rather stay on their phone, look at it for 45 minutes an hour when they could have knocked out a workout.
If you just get it done. Like you, that thing that you want to do or that thing that you don't want to do that you're trying to make excuses saying that you're too busy to do, it doesn't take that long. Like, just do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It doesn't take that
long. Go to bed earlier, get up earlier, just strategically plan your day. If billionaires can do it and work out and run their businesses, so can you. So don't come here thinking like you're busier than The Rock or a Joe Rogan or those guys who train daily, but they also run their multi-million dollar businesses.
But I definitely recommend like scheduling your life and not just your appointments and things like that. I mean, just kind of like plot it all out. Take some time every week to schedule it out. Obviously, like, I don't have my entire week scheduled. I have all of the things I already know I need to do this week, appointments or whatever, on my calendar. But as things come up, as I think of things, as I get, you know, an email where I'm like, I get a task that I need to complete for like a project I'm working on, then I open up my calendar and I look at my availability. And you can move things around and there's flexibility there, but it is eye-opening and probably increased my productivity by 40%.
From just doing that?
Just by doing that.
That's good.
Productivity, both personally and professionally. I'm getting more social media content done than I've ever gotten done. If I just tell myself, I need to post on Instagram this week, or I need to do a YouTube video this week, chances are maybe I'll get to it, maybe I won't. I won't be on a consistent schedule, whatever. But if I say, okay, I need to get 2 YouTube videos done this week, I open up my calendar. These are the days I need to film them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a time slot for that. Then these are the days I need to edit them. There has to be a time slot for that. It doesn't just magically get edited and uploaded.
Yeah.
There has to be time slot. So even my social media. So for me, because that's my business, it applies to social media, but for you, whatever your business is or whatever the things you're trying to accomplish, that can apply to those things.
Yeah, it's true.
Because I'm just saying a lot of people, when it comes to like falling off or having a bad week of staying on a program or whatever, they usually blame it on, I had a really busy week, I had people in town or whatever. All of that doesn't matter. Like if you have something going on, then you can just kind of like look on your calendar and you figure out a way to make it work.
Yeah, you can always find a way.
Yeah, like I have an appointment this week. I have an appointment on Tuesday. So I know, okay, that is going to be my off date from weight. So I have to coordinate with Alyssa. So like, hey, can I take Tuesday off and we'll work out Wednesday instead? So sometimes it requires, you know, some flexibility and moving things around. But because I'm getting in front of it, I'm going to be able to still get it all done.
That's true. You're not going to fall behind because your time blocks. What you show me is every time you get it done, boom.
Oh, and then I change. Boom. Yeah. That's when I get it done, I mark it off. So then I can look at my calendar and see like all of the things I got accomplished. But then I see maybe there's something, you know, something maybe did go south a couple days ago and I had something that didn't get done. I can easily see that on my calendar. And sometimes I can slide that over to another day where I got something done fast or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's been life changing, honestly, for me.
That's good.
Because I used to have my planner and I wrote out all of my must-dos. And I've talked about my You know, I've been good at time management. I've always been pretty good at time management, but I just took it up a notch because I used to write everything down, but I didn't do it in specific times. And when you write it down in like a planner, I didn't really block off the appropriate amount of time that it was going to take me to accomplish that task. It was more like a to-do list. And this is much more, you know, specific than that. And I find that it's just been, you know, it's helped me quite a bit. So I think that it could be very helpful. I definitely recommend trying it out because it's really important to, like I said, not only for professional reasons, but personal, because most of the time people, like I said, we have a bad week. It's because they got busy.
Mm-hmm.
They just got busy.
Like today, if you know you're going to have a busy week, today's Sunday. If you ain't doing nothing, get some of your meals ready for the week, right? Start prepping now.
I did my meal prep already.
You did. I'm saying.
I had it on my time block.
people should follow suit. Like, if you're going to be busy, start getting your stuff ready.
Yeah. So, like, I meal prep. Usually, I have a routine. And at the end of the day, it's a routine and a schedule that'll get you through life. It really is. And, like, I have a routine that it's like autopilot for me now. Starting, usually Thursday is the day I clean out the fridge and start and look at what my meal plan is going to be for the next week. And I clean out the fridge and kind of get everything all ready. And then I'll start to put everything, do my grocery shopping on Instacart. I'll put all the things I need to order into Instacart, but I won't place the order until Friday. And then I order the groceries on Friday and I put everything away on Friday. And then I don't meal prep until Sunday. But that's kind of like, I've been doing that for that exact routine for a good solid year. It's just like autopilot.
It's working, just keep it going. Whatever works for you.
But so whatever, exactly. Everyone's routine and schedule is different.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important that you have a routine and schedule.
Yeah. Don't wing it. It's too hard.
Like you get thrown off. I know, I can tell, like, if your schedule gets messed up, you get thrown off. You like a schedule too.
A little bit. I like certain doing things by a certain time.
Yeah.
Knocking it out. I'm more of a daytime kind of guy. Knock it out early in the morning. Workouts.
Well, you have your class too.
Yeah.
It's like an appointment.
Yep.
It's important too. And even if you don't have a personal trainer or you have to work out at a specific time, make an appointment with yourself anyway.
Yep.
So like Alyssa was out, was in Hawaii and I knew I was going to struggle because whenever there's a change, like a wrench in my schedule, I struggle a little bit. And so I knew that I was going to struggle. So I scheduled myself on my calendar to go to the gym.
Very important you do that.
And I did, and I didn't miss any workouts while she was gone.
Even a lot of successful people, like billionaires, talk about that. Like, listen, they got all the money in the world, but one thing they don't have is they got to put in that work, that workouts. They can't. You have
Nobody
to do it.
Can do it for nope. them. Yeah. True.
Mm-mm. Part of their successful people is part of their secret weapon. That gives them their edge, their driving life, working out. The good old gym, whatever it takes to push you and motivate you in life.
Yeah, I mean, it's so important.
It's my secret weapon too.
And it's important for so many different things. But listen, you know what's so weird? Speaking of totally off topic from time management, but I think we covered that pretty well. But yeah. I can't believe that there's still such a strong misconception about people think that they can't incorporate a workout routine until they lose the weight they want to lose. As a personal trainer, did you hear that a lot? Lose weight before they start working out.
Or I want to get in shape before I hire a trainer. Hold on.
There's a
whole
good
purpose of getting into shape is why you hire a trainer, you dummy, to teach you the necessary steps to get there. You ain't done it on your own already. What makes you think you're ever going to get there? Like, hello?
Yeah, like no.
Like, stop.
I don't understand.
I don't want to assault people, but they're delusional. You ain't got there on your own. You need help, okay?
Yeah.
That's the reason why they have personal trainers.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. You know, why would you need to get
life
in shape
coach, whatever person it takes to get you there, to push you
for accountability.
Accountability.
I know my clients say the biggest thing for them is they like to do their accountability check-ins every 2 weeks. Like, that keeps them on point, knowing that they have to do that.
Like, oh shit, I can't fall off the deep water, I can't cheat it, because you can't cheat it.
Yeah. It's just kind of like, if you know it's coming, you know, you kind of like, well, you know, like,
and they know, and they know if they've deviated or not. They play dumb, like, why? Come on, man.
You know what? My clients are pretty on point. They're pretty honest about.
A lot of people aren't though. They try to lie and, for what? You're lying to yourself, not me.
Yeah, no.
It's your program.
Kind of like, listen, this is I was about this adherence or this or that.
It's your body. It's your life. You know, it's not me. You're cheating yourself.
I mean, yeah, I can give the guidance. You can, like, what's the saying? You can
lead the horse to water.
But you can't make them drink the
no,
water.
No, you cannot.
But I do try to give as much information, you know, as I can. And I did like a Q&A on Instagram, so I got a lot of good questions. But yeah, that was one of them was the, she wanted to know, she still had some weight to lose and wanted to know if she should hold off on starting weight training until she lost all her weight.
No, that's the best.
No, weight training is going to help you get
actually
your goals
the best.
Faster.
Yeah, it speeds up your metabolism, builds lean muscle
it
tissue.
It speeds up your. Not only does weight training, obviously, it's the actual session itself is going to burn additional calories that day, right? So that's number one.
Yeah.
So even before you start building muscle, just the process of doing the workout is going to burn more calories. So mm-hmm. now you've increased your calorie burn without you've increased your deficit without dropping what you eat, like we were saying.
Yep.
But then you're going to be slowly putting on that lean muscle. And the more muscle you have on your body, the more calories your body needs in order to function. That, what does that mean? That means faster metabolism. It means your body requires more fuel to function.
Yep.
That's why you can eat double of what I can eat.
Yes.
Because you have a lot more muscle on your body. That's mm-hmm. why men can eat more than women. People wonder about that. Like, God, why can my boyfriend eat so much more? Because he has more muscle than you.
And this is where women make the mistake of, they blow the F up because you guys can't eat the same volume as men. When you're out ordering the same exact meal, eating toe to toe, tip for tat, forget about it. We'll gain weight, but imagine what it does to you guys.
If I sit down here, do nothing all day, just sit in this chair and do nothing, and you sit in that chair and do nothing, because of the muscle that you have in your body, you are going to burn probably like just doing nothing, like 2,200 calories, just doing nothing. And I'm probably going to burn about 1,200 calories just doing nothing. That's 1,000 calories more just because you have, obviously because your vessel is larger.
That's also, what it is. My vessel's larger.
Your vessel.
People don't look at that either.
No. So like true. A little car takes less gas, yes. right? Than a truck. So if the larger your vessel, the more yeah. calorie burn you have. That's why even and that includes even if it's fat. So even like someone who's larger, they have a, you know, they burn more calories. Mm-hmm. And as you lose weight, people go, oh, my metabolism is slowing down. Well, it's slowing down because you're becoming a smaller person. Yeah. Your vessel is smaller. So yes, your metabolism adjusts accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
But how you can counter that and have a small vessel, but still eat like you had a large vessel is by having more muscle on your body. And that's why, listen, I love food. I don't make any, you know, like qualms about it. Like, I love food. And that's why a lot of my motivation for putting on more muscle is, yes, I want to look good. And I love the look of a muscular body. But I also want to be able to consume more food and still look and
not,
feel my
not
best.
A bad trade-off, I honestly.
No,
to
so
be,
I want to put on muscle. And
people
I know.
Probably wondering, how is that possible? She's going to eat more, put on more muscle. So explain to them. What you mean by that?
What do you mean?
Like you're putting on muscle by eating more. People don't realize you can eat more.
No, I mean I don't understand what you're saying. I didn't say that. I said what I want to be able to eat more.
More.
So I'm putting on, you're muscle. Putting on muscle. I'm making it a goal of mine to put on muscle so that my vessel requires more calories in order to keep it. So when I'm sitting
and that's
here,
a good trade-off.
I'm not going to burn 1,200. Maybe I'm going to burn 1,600 by doing nothing because now I have more muscle on my body.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm stripping away the fat but replacing it with muscle, even though my vessel, my body's getting smaller, I'm going to upregulate my metabolism by putting on more muscle. So I'm going to kind of like negate that difference instead of my metabolism getting slower and slower. Instead of the smaller I get, now my BMR's at 1,200. Now it's at 1,100. Now it's at 1,000 calories. It only takes, you know, I'm so tiny. It only takes me 1,000 calories to survive. It takes my body, you know, 1,000 calories. No, I don't want to do that. I want to increase it. And the only way to do that is by putting more muscle on your body.
True. Hence, that's why bodybuilders, powerlifters, they require so many calories.
That's why they require
big time.
Because otherwise, what'll happen? So then, obviously,
like
I don't have this problem. But if you are someone who has put on so much muscle on your body, not only will, and if you're not able to eat enough to sustain that muscle, your body will just get rid of the muscle. You'll start burning through it.
It's true.
So that's what happens if, like, a bodybuilder, if they don't eat enough, they
start getting smaller quick. They can't keep up with the protein requirements. You see them start shriveling down.
Yeah. Paulo looks like he's struggling over there. Yeah, so they can't. Like, I know that even some girls, like competitors or figure competitors, or they can eat like 5,000 calories a day.
That's insane. I can't even eat that.
And they're tiny. They're small, but they have a lot of muscle.
That's crazy that they could eat that much. That's almost unheard of, unreal. But hey, if they have that kind of muscle and they're lean and their body's burnt using it up, then it's working for them.
Exactly.
That's crazy, though. That's the science now. People have nailed it.
Yeah. I mean, just like your body can downregulate, it can upregulate too. True. It goes in both directions. And it doesn't mean, you know, a lot of times people will say metabolic damage. And I've said the word metabolic damage because some people have damaged their metabolism because they went too extreme. But when people go on a diet, like, or a deficit, or eat a or lose weight, and then they gain it back really quickly, and they say, like, oh, it's because I ruined my metabolism, or they'll blame their coach or their trainer. Oh, they ruined my metabolism because now, you know, I gained all my weight back and I didn't even eat that much more. Well, it's because you went on a diet, quote unquote, and then you went off the diet. Yes, when you lost weight and you got smaller, your metabolism slowed down because, like I said, you have a smaller body. So less fuel.
Smaller vessel, yes.
It's like if you, like I said, if you get a commuter car, why do you get a commuter car? Because it's little, it's going to be better on gas.
Yes.
Well, your body's better on gas when you lost a bunch of, if you lost 30 pounds, your body's going to downregulate.
It's not going to take the same amount of calories.
No. And so there's a few ways to counter it. You know, you can be a little bit careful and do like a reverse diet so you don't go right back up to maintenance calories because your body will recognize that as a surplus. You slowly, you know, increase your calories.
Gradually,
so
yeah.
Kind of like sneak them in to your body so that it doesn't, you know, like freak out.
So and it's adapting.
Yeah.
Slowly.
Slowly. So yeah. You kind of like slowly increase it. Maybe add an extra refeed day or slowly increase your calories or increase your cheat day calories, whatever you like best. But then you can also counter it again by really focusing on putting on muscle. And you do that by obviously resistance training, real focused, good resistance training programs. Like, really pay attention. Don't just go through the motions because then you're just burning calories. There's a difference between working out to burn calories and working out to build muscle.
Big time. Two different things.
Two different things. And when you're working out to burn calories, you're just moving. You're just moving the weights, you're moving around, walking around the gym.
Yep.
Whatever.
You look lost in
there. Like,
you don't know what you're doing. Okay, no plan, no rhyme or reason.
No, you're just kind
one
of
machine
like
to the next.
And you're not paying attention to what muscle you're working out.
Yes.
You're just kind of moving. Now, is that worthless? No, because you're burning calories. So it depends on what your goal is. If your goal is weight loss or not to gain weight, I mean, the burned calories are helpful. Yes.
Yes, of course.
But for putting on muscle, you have to kind of know what muscle that you are working out at that moment. So, like, if you're doing a bicep curl, you're not thinking about your calves.
Yep.
Okay? You're not, like, flexing your calves when you're doing the bicep curl. No. You're thinking, okay, I'm lifting this weight. I'm putting tension in my bicep. I'm feeling constant tension. Mm-hmm. You want to feel it. You want to say, like, am I giving my bicep the message that what it's doing is difficult? So, you're sending the message for the bicep to grow to make this task less difficult.
Yeah.
That's really what you're doing. So when your muscles grow, it's because your body has identified that you are doing something that is difficult and it wants to make it less difficult. So it makes it bigger. I'm like, well, the next time she lifts that 10 pounds, I'm going to be a little bit bigger. It's going to be a little bit easier. And you just keep doing that. And so you got to tell yourself when you're working out, do you feel it in that muscle that you're supposed to be feeling it in? And is it enough to tell your body to grow the muscle so that it gets easier next time? And then will it get easier? No, because you'll adjust. You'll maybe lift a little heavier, maybe do more reps because you don't want it to get easier because you want your body to continue to grow the muscle.
Gotta press that, you gotta push that stress on the muscle, always. Got to. If you don't, it ain't gonna grow.
No, it's just...
If you go in there, like, I see people playing around, and I get it. Some people are lost. They don't know. Partially, I always blame the gym. Like, listen, you should always give at least people two introductory sessions just to show people how to, what they're doing.
And just explain the thought process. I think just that mind and muscle connection, people don't realize how important it is to growing the muscle. Mm-hmm. So even like you guys...
You gotta manifest it. I always believe.
You have to have a trainer, okay? You can, if you go to the gym, there's instructions on every machine. Read the instructions on the machine and look at the diagram that shows what muscle you should be feeling it in. Because you might not know. You might walk up to a machine, you know, you're brand new to going to the gym. You might not know exactly where you should be feeling it. So you'll look at the machine. It'll show you where you should be feeling it. And then that's, you'll want to think about that area of your body when you're performing the exercise and make sure you feel it.
Yep.
And make sure it's hard. Because if it's not hard.
So it's called, instead of, don't call it lifting. The thing is lifting weights. Lifting
resistance
weights.
Training.
It's resistance training. Resisting the weights.
Feel the resistance.
Yes, feel the resistance. Why does it feel this way? Why is it hard? What am I working?
Yeah, I mean, it should get to the point where it's burning. It's burning.
You should feel the
last
sensation.
Three reps should be like a burning sensation.
Should work for it. Not finished. Okay, I got five left and I finished.
And then obviously diet plays into it. You got to be making sure that you are eating enough protein. Because basically what happens is the muscle, when you're feeling that burn and that pain in your muscle, it's literally the muscle fibers are like ripping apart. Like they're like opening up.
Microscopically, yes.
Yeah, they're tearing. Little injuries.
Little injuries.
That's why it's
tears.
Like it causes inflammation
yep.
and swelling sometimes. It's because it's basically little injuries. Mm-hmm. But when the muscles come back together and repair,
it's proteins
amino acids
yes.
that help with that repair. And guess what? They'll repair a little bigger next time.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're the cells. Like, yeah, they're if they're together tightly and they rip open, when they come back together, they'll come back together a little bit bigger.
Yep.
Ever so slightly, but over time, those gains, you know, become more obvious. Over, mm-hmm. you know, and it takes a significant amount of time to put on muscle. It's a lot of consistency, dedication in the gym to put on actual size.
Yep. The body adapts quick.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Quick. You'll adapt so fast. Your workouts, your body will be used to your workouts within 6 weeks. People say, oh, switch every 10
to
12.
And you don't have to feel soreness, so that's a myth. You do not have to feel soreness after the fact in order to make for that workout to have been effective.
That's crazy because I always thought you used to it when I didn't. Nope. I'm like, damn it, man.
That's just lactic acid.
Yeah, I know.
So in order for the workout to be effective, for you to know it's effective, you just have to know that those last three reps are difficult and you're feeling the burn, almost the pull, the burn in your muscle.
Yep.
You should not be happy about it. It should be difficult. You should want to like grunt or howl, even though you're not necessarily going to be doing that out loud and being that annoying person in the gym. If you're not feeling that pain, you're not working hard enough. Up your weight a little bit or concentrate on the muscle, make maybe up your reps a little bit, but you should really be feeling it. And I think most people don't realize what they should be feeling. I don't think they're working hard enough.
Mm-mm.
Because sometimes they haven't stopped to think about it. If you just stop to think about what you're trying to do, send that message to your body, telling your body it needs to grow in order to sustain this weight, you know, so you have to think about that. But that's why I take a supplement called creatine. Actually, we were talking about that earlier, is that supplement creatine really helps. It helps to convert your energy quickly in the gym, and it increases your strength like in the gym. So it helps you push a little harder and get that extra burn. Because that's what it's about. When it comes to growth and growing your muscles, which that's what we're trying to do, right? Trying to grow your muscles is, I like to take supplements that are going to help me have a more effective workout.
Of course.
Creatine has a lot of studies that back it up. I was talking to Tyler about it, actually. He's like, yeah, it's one of the like most underrated supplements.
Been around too for a minute now.
And it's the most science-backed, proven proven.
And it's like, and it even survived through the 90s because it was around back then in the 90s.
Well, some people think
a lot of stuff didn't survive.
Is it creatine steroids? Because it got a reputation because it makes you stronger.
Does.
It makes you stronger in the gym. And you don't have to take it when you're working out. It's not one of those supplements. It's something that you just get into your body and take it all the time. You could take it anytime. I just take 5 grams every day. I put it in water. I just add it to my BCAAs. I actually just started, I just ordered a supplement from InnoSups that's called Max Strength. And it's like a BCAA and creatine in one. So that way I condense two supplements into one.
Oh, nice.
So I'm going to be trying that one out to see how I like it. But yeah, so that's why I like to take those kind of things that I can tell impact my ability to have a more effective workout. You got to have to kind of like, when you're doing weight training, you have to clear your head.
You do. And try not to think about like your personal life. Remember why
you're there. Yeah, you're in there to grow your muscles.
No personal life, no life problems. That's going to be there when you leave that gym. It's because not going to go away. But get a good workout in while you're in there. Like focus.
Like we're talking about time management, it doesn't take that long. You can have a very effective 30-minute weight training workout.
Man, you can set up 4 different stations and just go.
Very, very effective. Boom. Someone asked me on Instagram, like, how much do you work out? I mean, I've put on a good amount of muscle, I would say, over the last 6 months. Probably good, solid, like, 3 pounds of muscle.
Doesn't sound like much, but that's hard to do.
Especially
for a middle-aged woman.
Middle-aged? I feel like I'm above middle-aged. Dude, I'm almost senior, 45 years old. But, I only do about 40 minutes, 4 days a week of weight training, but it's very,
like, but it's not, you're not looking at your phone for 5 minutes.
Nope. I'm not on my phone. I'm just working. Boom, 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 getting it done. So that's not a lot of time. When you're thinking about time blocks and time management, 40 minutes, I could be like, man, I'm so busy today. I probably should skip that 40 minute workout, but what could I really, 40 minutes is not that long. Just get it done. Like you could get it done. You could squeeze it in, you know, and even if you're not, like for me, I like to save time by working out at home. You know, if that helps, get some equipment at home, go on Amazon and get some like dumbbells, a good dumbbell set, and you can do a very effective workout. Bands and dumbbells. You don't need to have a fancy schmancy home gym.
No,
you really don't.
No.
The new program that I'm launching.
You have to be motivated though.
I'm launching obviously I've talked about it. I'm launching a new program July 1st. It's going to be really, the workouts is going to be a lot better and more progressive workouts. Very easy to follow, but home options for someone who, you know, doesn't want to work out at a gym. Nice. Or doesn't have a lot of time.
Yep.
There's going to be home and gym options, and it'll tell you exactly what to do every day. Like, okay, open up the app. Okay, what do I do today? Boom, boom, boom. Done. That's it. Off your list. Done. Yep. Move on to the next day and it'll tell you exactly what to do. So you don't have to waste any time roaming around or trying to figure out what you need to do. Just, I like to be efficient and get it done and have it. Because otherwise, if you don't know exactly what you're going to do, you could waste 15, 20, 30 minutes just kind of like trying to figure that out.
I know.
And time.
I have a game plan already.
Time is money.
It is.
Time is
the most valuable asset. You know why? You can never get it back.
It is. And that's why
no one can get it back.
I'm like so excited about this new system because it's making things just so much more easier for me to get things done and to like accomplish all of these goals and get like all of this stuff done.
Of course.
Be better at my job. Yeah. Be better, a better coach to my clients because now I'm so much more efficient with even how I coach them and answer questions for them and create content for them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's my goal, is I'm always thinking about ways to make it easier. Videos I can show, hacks I can do to make this whole process just easier.
Simplify it. Not so complicated. It's too much information out there sometimes. It's too much sensory overload.
Yeah.
People get overwhelmed. They're like, I'm not going to do it. Forget this. It's too much.
Well, I know. That's why my whole program is all around taking it, scaling it back, like making it even more simple because you don't have to, it doesn't have to be complicated.
No.
It can be more simplified. And the simpler it is, it's just like, get it done.
That's it.
Mark it off your list. Move on to the next thing. That's it. Just like I recently was, I did a post on Instagram recently, and it talked about just keep going, trust the process, get it done, do what you're supposed to do until the results become undeniable. So don't look every step of the way to see like, oh, I want to see change. I want to see change. Just get your head down.
That's it.
Get it done. Open the app, get that thing done. And then one day you're going to look in the mirror and the results are undeniable.
Yep.
Then let that's going to be where the real motivation kicks in, because you realize like, wow, I don't have to like look with a microscope to see the results. They're undeniable. Then your motivation's at an all-time high. Mm-hmm. Let your motivation then help you keep going.
Yep.
That's the goal. So head down, trust the process, go until those results are undeniable. Then let that motivation take you even that much further.
That's true. Don't stop.
Yeah, don't stop, because you're only just beginning once you get to that point.
That's true. That's where people get there and they're like, damn, life changing, and then boom, they don't know. They jump off the bridge and
No, you got to keep going forever, because this is a forever thing.
Forever, ever, ever.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. I'll see you in the next one.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to Candidly with Coffee. Be sure to subscribe for more candid advice from your host, Janine Escobar. And don't forget to rate and review so we can continue to bring you the best content. See you on the next episode.